All right, guys and girls of the car world, this is the first segment. Totally unscripted, just my thoughts, and it will be titled Street Car Bible. All right, this is where I'm going to speak the gospel of anyone who's interested in street cars. Whether it's a street race, whether it's just modifying your car to look cool, going to car meets, going to do dyno days or hanging out at the track, whatever your little portion of this car world is, that's what I'm going to speak on. And it's going to go on for a long time. So each episode, I think, will have to be targeted towards one topic. I'll discuss it without beating a dead horse, and we'll move on. And hopefully, by the end of it, more people in the car world will at least have some grasp of how to operate at car shows, at car meets, at street races, at the drag strip, whatever, wherever, however you do your car thing. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to, hold on, driving my car and got a shift. It's a little wet out, so I gotta be careful, and it's loud. But yeah, I'm looking forward to this journey with you guys. Alright. Alright, so I suppose the first thing that I want to talk about on the streetcar gospel is going to be about street racing. Let's just jump right into it. Some have told me that it's taboo to even talk about this, to bring it up. And some of those people are pretty big in the street racing game. And some of them are even on TV. And they know who they are. What's up, BJ? But it has to be said, man. A lot of people don't talk about this stuff. They just see it and they follow what they see, but they don't really know, you know? So they see the street racing going down. They see all this cool, fun stuff going on and all this action, and they want to mimic it, but they don't have any background on it. So it's collectively becoming a group of people that just get out there and do dumb shit. That's what it's turning into. That's what the street racing scene is turning into, other than the big, big, big guys. And they're the ones featured all over the internet. Great. Friends with a lot of those guys. Have seen them race. Have took videos of them. I have personally raced at the same places that they've raced, if not at the same times that they race, when my car may not have been where it should have been. But that's because I'm just a ballsy son of a bitch, and I just go out there and I race. I don't care. Even if my car just finished getting built, which, mind you, I do everything myself except for transmission and rear end builds. Everything else is done by me. So when you say, oh, I just slapped it together, you know, a few days ago, I literally just slapped it together a few days ago, came out untested, and just ran it. Whether it ran fine or not, I do it. That's what I built the car for, to have fun. I don't pay a bunch of people money and get a car built, not know how to drive it, get out on the street, and only want to present content to people that include me winning races. No, you're a douchebag. That's not cool. You're just doing it for fame and attention. That comes. But when you do it like a douchebag, that shit comes and goes. So, the basic rules here. The basic rules are going to start with flaggers. We all know you line up and you got somebody who stands there and, you know, they check to see if both cars are ready and then they do something to initiate the race. Well, you have to have... Hold on. You gotta have some rules set for flaggers, along with a bunch of other things. Flaggers have to be consistent with the way that they flag. They have to make sure both cars are ready, both cars are lined up, okay? And when a flagger gets out there, yo, the flagger runs that street. That is now your street. So, as a flagger, you're responsible for many things. Make sure both drivers know if you're going to be going off the light or going off the hands, and the rules are set. So the next thing that you want to make sure is the fans, the people on the sidelines, man, make sure they're not in front of the cars, in front of the starting line. Period, end of story. If they are, you stop, you tell the drivers, hey, relax for a minute. These dudes need to get back. Make sure that anybody who's in front of that starting line is not in front of that starting line anymore before that race starts. Because that's how people get killed. That's what draws negative bullshit to our community and makes cops adamant about going after us. I mean, you just got to be smart. And there's so many different things that you can do to prevent having cops up your ass. That's one of them. All right, so we've talked about flaggers, but we didn't really dive into it. You got to make sure the cars are both lined up. You got to make sure both drivers understand how you're going to flag, and you do it consistently every time. And preferably, you keep the same flagger if you're, you know, always racing with the same group of people in the same areas. You know, you try to build a group, and you invite others, but you keep the rules the same. And once everyone has that, that's pretty good. Then the flagger makes sure that there's no spectators in the way of harm. That's a huge thing. The last thing that flaggers really need to worry about is knowing that you own that road and you are the dictator of that race. So if someone jumps, that's on you. You have to make that call. And you gotta be solid. You can't be wishy-washy. You can't let people talk you into making them, you know, re-race or win because, you know, you're not dominant in that feature. You have to be. But besides flaggers, this episode is going to discuss, and it's going to be real short, it's going to discuss another rule of street racing. That rule is burnouts. How many burnouts do you do before you make a run on the street? Whether it's a prepped or unprepped street, it doesn't matter. You got to come up with a number collectively as your group or the driver racing the other driver. They have to work this out. They have to hash it out before the race. And, you know, more than two, you got to justify that. You know, more than three, there's something fucking wrong. You keep it to one or two burnouts, that's pretty standard. You do a nice little burnout, preferably when you really know your shit, you have somebody line you back up to your spot. You keep the car straight. You do a nice little burnout so you get some rubber down on the ground. You heat up your tires. But that's not going to really benefit you as much if you don't line the car back up into that straight line of rubber that you just laid down. So when you take off, you're on some nice, good rubber instead of the unprepped road. So you can't see that from inside the car. Most of us can't line our cars back up very well. You got to have someone do it for you. You gotta trust that person, all right? So come up with a rule beforehand, you know? Do your burnouts. They don't have to be giant smoke shows all the way down the road, because if you overheat your tires, let me tell you, you're actually causing more traction loss than you're gaining in some instances. I've seen it personally when the fastest full body, full interior Impala SS in the country in Philly raced some Mustang from Maryland, Panda, and he did like six burnouts. They prepped the road over and over. He did all these big giant smoke shows, and he got his ass drug because he spun so hard for so long because his tires were so overheated, and it just was not beneficial to him in any which way. Granted, that was the reason he lost. But even if that wasn't the case, Alex would have put a whooping on that car's ass. Which they've gone back and forth battling now, and, you know, some wins on both sides. But that race was just a clear indication of not overdoing your burnouts. All right, so another big thing that a lot of people just don't get, I don't understand how you don't get this. When you're street racing, okay, most times, and I've been all across the country, different areas of the country, and it's always the same. The majority of people aren't the organized group that you see on YouTube, on 1320, Speed Society. That's not them. the majority of the ones who never get there because they don't know. And this is one of the things that they don't know. Like, you guys meet up. You found some good places to meet that cops don't really mess with you. That's great. And then you all roll out with like 50 cars to one spot to go race. You found a good road, all right? And that's another segment's looking for roads. But you found a road, you know of a spot, you go out to race. You get there with like 50 cars, and no one knows what the fuck's going on. You need to lock in races before you go out to the spot. Period, end of story. Lock it in. Find people, walk around the little car meet, ask them about their car, see if they're down to run. If they're down to run, lock it in. Now, you do that. A couple other guys do that. Everyone talks to each other and goes, hey, look, we got 5 races set up. That's 10 cars. You don't need more than 20 cars to be at that spot. 20 cars roll out, 10 cars race. You got 10 cars of spectators with some video cameras and whatnot. You know, that's it. You come back to the meetup spot. You share the content with everyone. You let everyone know who's the champ and, you know, who took the L. That's a pretty, pretty simple thing to keep the heat down. Be able to get out of a pinch quickly and easily, you know, and away from the cops if they do show up with less issue. Not to mention, if you got only 10, 20 cars versus 50 cars on some little road, it's a lot in the minds of a cop. It's not as crazy of a thing going on. It's just a small group of guys getting together. Oh, they might be doing something, you know, illegal, but I'm gonna more than likely not bust their chops so much because, you know, it doesn't seem like it's too outrageous looking out here. There's just about 10 or 15 cars parked on the side of the road and there's just a couple cars lined up. But you shouldn't even get to that point because by organizing everything beforehand, you get to the spot and you have your 10 cars ready to go. 5 in one lane, 5 in the other lane. First two, they hit it. They do their burnout, they roll back. They run, race is over. Next two, pull up, burn out, and go. Just like they do at the drag strip. You do that for all 10 cars. It's only going to take 5 rounds to do that. That's not very long. If each car takes 30 seconds to a burnout, another 30 seconds to line up, and it takes, 15 seconds to pop off a full race, you're talking about 2-3 minutes tops that you need to be able to get a solid race off. Times 10 cars, that's tops 30 minutes that you're out on a road. I've been sitting on a road many a time for an hour, 2 hours with one or two races popped off, people arguing about getting the next race, and then the cops come. Dude, you had 2 hours to just get some shit popped off. Whether you're racing for money or not, just do it. Another big mistake a lot of guys are making nowadays is they don't have any preparation. And the preparation I'm speaking about right now is picking a road. You know, you live in an area and most people rely on everyone else to know of a spot to go race. Go drive around. Go look for a spot. Find some good spots you think would be, you know, a good road to race on. When you're looking for those spots, you got to make sure you have enough room to race. It's secluded. It's not full of traffic. It's a clean road, preferably one that's smooth and not bumpy. You got to make sure there's enough room for a shutdown. So you got to drive around. Drive around, look for these roads. Once you find them, do a couple test hits. Make sure that the road is solid, you know, and take a few cars out there one weekend, one night, and, you know, have a couple runs and see how it goes before you start bringing the entire crews of people out there. And start documenting these roads for yourselves and put them on a little list. And now you got one really good road in this spot, but you got a backup road. You keep doing that until you find 10 great roads and 10 backup roads. And that's how you're able to run a cash days eventually, you know? That's how you're able to do all the big dog shit. Preparation. That's all it takes, man. But you got to go out and do it. You can't just expect it to just happen. You know, I drive out to Long Island every now and then now, and I'm meeting up with some cool cars. Majority are young cats. They don't know shit. And older dudes that invite me out with their cool cars, you know, they have some spots, but not enough. And they're not as organized as they need to be. And so it's not as rewarding or fun to drive an hour and a half, 2 hours to get out there, as it is to drive an hour to Philly, where they have like 15 spots. Everything's lined up. Like, they know what they're doing. So you got to get out. You got to look up spots. You got to find them. And you gotta do your little research on them. You gotta make sure that the area is, you know, not full of people. It's not gonna wake up the neighbors as soon as you start running. Preferably an industrial area. That's usually good. Somewhere near an old airport or factories. Those are usually good spots. Make sure the roads are clean. You don't want any accidents. There's enough shutdown so people can actually run a full race. And then, here's a big one that people overlook. Go out there and mark the fucking road. You know? The starting line. Mark it. Go out there with something that's not actual paint, but like, yeah, some spray paint or something, you know? Inconspicuously go out there and just mark the road. And once you do that, you drive down a ways till you get to eighth or quarter mile, whatever you feel the race should be on that road with a safe shutdown, and you mark the end of it. And that's it. That's it. You found a good road, you documented it, you did a couple test hits there every now and then to make sure it's good. There's enough shutdown. It's not gonna annoy people who aren't car people, because you gotta understand that this is not their world, and they're not trying to be dicks, but you know, they got jobs, they got lives and shit, and we're some rowdy, loud ass fucking people with our loud ass rowdy cars. That hinders other people. Don't hinder other people. As long as you don't hinder other people, you cause any damage or harm, a lot of times you'll find no one's gonna fuck with you. Alright, so you got a good flagger, you've organized beforehand, you got some rules set, and you've scouted some really good roads. What's next? Well, etiquette. You have to know how to act. You have to know how to represent yourself from where you leave to the race spot. Because a lot of people rev up, do burnouts, smoke shows, race each other out of the fucking parking lot. The cops are watching to make sure you're not doing anything stupid. And I'm going to get on that on a whole nother subject with car meets. But you can't do that. You got to come out, you got to cruise, and you got to be like everyone else. You got to blend in. Once you blend in, no one's looking at you. You drive around for a while, not directly to the fucking car meet. I mean, race spot. You just don't do that. You drive around, you hit a couple other little areas, you come back around. You know, I'm not saying drive 30 minutes before you get to the spot, but you take your 10, 20 cars, you're driving a couple different areas, and then you hit the spot. And you do it inconspicuously. I mean, you don't need to be out there proving anything on the way to the spot. You're going to the spot to prove something. That's where you're proving it at. So you don't want to cause all sorts of commotion, hell, and, you know, revving up motors and, you know, bringing attention to yourselves before you even get to the spot, because that's how you blow up a spot. Seriously. And you don't sit there and post the spots up all over social media, tagging it, having your location on when you're videoing and taking pictures in those spots. Like, you just don't do that. You want to keep that shit word of mouth only. When it comes to this stuff, you have to be word of mouth. You got to get away from the whole social media aspect. Understand that if you're going to be sharing this stuff with the rest of the world and your friends, there's other people looking. There's pages that it gets shared to. And if there's a street sign there, or you're talking about the road that you're on, or what have you, people see it, cops eventually find it, and they start scouting that road out themselves. I've seen it happen. I've talked to cops. And the next thing you know, when they're bored, they roll around these spots and bye-bye street racing on that fucking great road. So don't cause any commotion. Blend in. Be quiet getting to the spot. And as soon as those first two cars do their burnouts and start getting ready, everyone needs to be ready to fucking do the same thing. And once it's all done and said with, get the fuck out. And when you do get the fuck out, do it inconspicuously yet again. You get to the spot where you're meeting up at for the car meet or whatever. And again, the etiquette is roll up, be cool. Once you get out, that's when you can start to talk loud, tell your boys, oh, I won, or, you know, so-and-so lost. Here, check out the video. Do whatever you're going to do, man. But just make sure that you understand the etiquette behind it. And a lot of people think it's just being unfun. No. It's not being unfun at all. It's being smart and making sure that you're able to continuously do this shit, you know? So sit back, think about some of the things that you're doing when you're out there and why it might have caused some of the early nights or the running from spot to spot to spot from the cops. And, you know, tell others, hey man, don't do that. Stop doing burnouts and revving up, especially when you're only driving a little 180 horsepower Honda with an exhaust on it. I'm not trying to be a dick. I mean, a lot of people have, you know, entry-level cars. You're entry-level to the game, but here's the rules to being in that position. You know, build that car up. Don't blow it up, revving it up, trying to be cool. Build it. Once you have a 500 horsepower Honda Civic, again, you keep that same etiquette, but then you show up at that spot and you run somebody down, dude, you're going to get a lot more respect than anyone else. So next up in the street race gospel, how to successfully be a street racer. You got to learn how to take an L, people. And you got to stop being scared of those L's. And for anyone who is listening that doesn't know what an L is, I get it, it's a younger term, and I kind of got on it a little late myself, but it's taking a loss. It's losing, okay? Learn to take the L. Don't be a dick. Don't fight it. If you got all the rules set, you got people watching, you got videos at the end, if you think that you won, be a man. Say, hey, look, you didn't win, dude. Pull up the camera. Pull up the proof. Was there anyone to watch? If you really, really think so. And at that point, you're either going to be proved right or wrong, and the flagger is going to make that decision based on video evidence, what he saw, or if he had someone at the end of the race, you know, watching. And that's it. If you lose, you lose, man. Shake the dude's hand. Be humble about it. It's all good. You live the race another day. There's knowledge behind that loss. What do you need to do to make your car faster? Was the car slower or was it you? Are you a bad driver? Do you need to practice more? Do you need to adjust the way you launch off the line because maybe you just spin too much? Or maybe you bog like hell and, I don't know, maybe you need to change your tire pressure. Maybe you need to, I don't know, launch differently so that you could spin a little bit instead of bogging because you don't have enough power once it bogs to actually keep pushing the car forward. So you spin a little and then you catch and then you go. Or maybe you were spinning your ass off the whole time and you don't know how to, you know, pedal the car. It's pretty quick when you're in a car that's fucking spinning and you're next to a dude who's like right next to you and you think, man, I could just sit here and I could literally just floor it and, you know, yes, I'm spinning, but man, I'm kind of still right there with him. It's hard to tell yourself, no, I need to let off the pedal for a second or two here. Not even a second, like a millisecond. Catch some traction, half throttle it a little bit so you get traction again or you're in another gear, and then full blast it. And then you realize you pull that dude in and you go right by him because he only had so much power. And you have way more power. You just weren't able to put it to the ground, but you realized it mid-race and you were able to recoup by slowing down for a second to speed up, if that makes sense. A lot of guys don't do that. But either way, take the L as an opportunity to learn. Don't take it as a loss. Take it as an opportunity to learn. Learn what you need to do to be faster. Maybe you just need to do some more mods and make your car faster. I don't know. And then for the guys that are... And for the guys that win, yo, enjoy your win, man. But don't be a total dick about it. Like, be humble. You know, unless you have this giant rivalry with somebody and like it just means so much to you to just like really put it in their fucking face. And sometimes that's necessary. But for the most part, dude, be humble. Just enjoy the win. Know that you did good. Think about what happened in the race that made you win. Think about what could have made you lose, you know, and take that as a sign of respect from everybody, and don't ruin that respect by being a total douchebag about it, because then you make yourself look like a dick and no one wants to be around the dick, no matter how fast and how, you know, cool your car is. You know, be cool with everybody after the fact. You win, you lose, it happens. Who are you at the end of the day that these people are either looking up to or, you know, fucking hate? I mean, it all comes down to you and like how you take things and what you present to the community, whether it's the street race community or the car club. So everyone just needs to understand that, like, you got to be cool. You got to stop being dickheads, whether you're losing or winning. And that's that. I mean, and if you win, dude, good for you. Collect your fucking money. And if you lose, pay your fucking debt. Don't be that guy. Nobody wants that guy around who's gonna race and then like bitch and not want to pay money up or whatever for whatever reason. Yo, if you lost, even if it's on a technicality, you could humbly ask for a re-race, and if they say no, be like, all right, cool, here's your money. That's the end of it. Period, end of story. It's the only way that you should be racing anybody, you know? All right, so another thought that has popped in my head. This one has no start, no end. This one doesn't really have a base for me to talk about other than the fact that I cannot stand and I do not understand why so many people come out to go racing and are scared to race anybody. Why do you guys do that? You came out to race, you're doing mods to your car to be faster, and you're not even racing for money, so why are you scared to race somebody? Stop that shit. Go out there and just fucking run, dude. No one cares if you're gonna lose, what your lose count is. That's some bullshit made up in your head. Fuck that. Pick a car that you think would be a good race and race them. See who wins. Shit, you might have 100 horsepower down, but you're a fucking solid racer, and you have perfect traction every time because you don't blow the tires off ever, and they have to be on point every time, or they blow the tires off, and when that happens, you might even beat them. So just go out there and have some fun. Stop sitting there thinking that you know, you're not good enough, or your car's not fast enough. Dude, you're never going to know until you try it, you know? So just go out there and do it. I mean, if you got big dog shit under your hood, and, you know, you're racing for money against other big dog guys, or you have an actual following from your races online and shit, and that matters to you, if that really matters to you, then fine, do what you do. But man, there's not that many people that are that high up there that need to be worrying about losing races for whatever outside reason there is. Because at the end of the day, it should just be for your own happiness. Just go out there and have some fun, you know, run your car, get some info on what you're doing as a driver and what your car's doing in the weather, on that road, you know. Just get data for yourself so you can get better. You're never going to get better unless you do it. You could sit there and never race your car and build it and then turn it into a 600-800 horsepower muscle car or 500-600-700 horsepower fucking import, and now you don't know what the fuck you're doing because you haven't been doing it as you've been building it. I mean, seriously, think about that. You're not going to know how to jump into a Ferrari tomorrow and race it around the track unless you started racing around a track in a Miata for a couple years and moved up to a Vet and then moved up to whatever else you want to do into a Ferrari one day. Just get out there and do it. Have some fun. It'll be entertaining for everyone, and no one's going to hold it against you if you lose. Just grow a set of balls. All right, so it's been a little bit since my last podcast or segment. I'm still getting a hang of this thing, but it came to mind that I should probably discuss tires. seeing as I'm on my way down to EFX Tuning in Lindenwold, New Jersey, to go pick up my new drag radials. Got a pair of Mickey Thompson ET Street R's for my MMR wheels for the Camaro. And I roasted the crap out of the Michelin Pilot Super Sports during a burnout at the last Camaros and Coffee meet, which is awesome, by the way. Definitely need to add them on Instagram and check them out. Come out to some of the meets. So yeah, it was time for new tires and I decided I wanted drag radials. The thing about drag radials is they're not good in the rain. I totaled the vet that way. Almost totaled the third gen a few times driving across the country on drag radials and skinnies. Not a good idea. But if you're planning on just driving the car mostly during good weather and racing, drag radials is the way to go. So tires is a very important thing that a lot of people just don't think about. They want to mod their cars and make power, and they care about the numbers and the dyno numbers and, like, you know, how big the cam is or how loud exhaust is. That's all great. Some of it's not, but, you know, if it makes you happy, that's fine. But if you can't put it down to the ground, you're not winning. I mean, a 400 horsepower car that's all-wheel drive that has good tires and suspension,
vehicle stopped on shoulder ahead,
they will literally outrun a 550, 600 horsepower car that just doesn't have any traction. You're just gonna spin. When you finally do, you know, get traction, you're not keeping up. That other dude's already gone, you know, most times. So you gotta really think about tire selection. There's a lot of different compounds out there. There's a lot of different types of tires. I do a lot of drag racing. I do a man racing, which is from a dig, so I need a good drag radio. And yeah, that's all there is to that. The Michelin Pilot Super Sports are going to be rocking next month on another set of wheels just for the street, because those things just, they grip. They grip the road like no other. And they just hook for your, you know, your twisties and your turns. They just grip and hook and just move. But straight line, not so much. Especially right now, it's still cold. They're not doing what I want them to do, and I'm losing some races. So drag radials it is. You got to look at your tires, do some research, find out what compounds work for your cars, set up. Automatics and manuals like different type of compound tires. You know, you don't always have to go bigger. A 275 drag radial nowadays is doing work. I mean, those things are going into sevens. So if guys are running 7 seconds with a 275 drag radial, I'm pretty sure your little 10, 11, 12 second car is going to hook with them. And if they're not, then that means it's not the tire. That means you have a suspension issue, or you're lacking adjustments to your suspension. Some cars you can adjust it, make it work. Other cars you have to buy aftermarket suspension components, and then you can start adjusting your suspension to work. And that's like huge. Suspension's huge. My third gen is all tubular suspension, all adjustable. And once I get it running right, dialed in, then I'm dialing in the suspension, because that thing hooks like no other right now. But once it's dialed in, I already know there's so much more left on the table that the suspension tuning is going to, you know, take a hold of. And that's really going to step me up and put me past a lot of the guys that I'm expecting to, you know, be competitive with. So tires, big thing. Suspension next. I'll talk about that in another episode. All right, so I'm going to try to stop saying by the way. But we talked about tires. Now I want to talk a little bit about suspension. There's more stuff to talk about tires, but right now that's just the intro to it. I did it again. As far as suspension goes, though, you know, there's different ways of setting up suspension. It all depends on what type of racing you're doing or what portion of the car scene you're in. Some people don't even race, so your suspension is going to be different. You're going to be talking about airbags, or you're going to be talking about static drops. But for the rest of us racers, you really got to look into your suspension. And the fads that are going around today aren't always your best option. So
If you're racing, bags might not be your best option, but you know, it all depends. They're coming a long way with them, and you might be able to set them up pretty well for drag racing, but it's null and void. If you're a street car and you just like to have fun every now and then, but you like that slammed look, then bags are great. But all these new late model people I see running around just trying to throw thousands of dollars at a shop to throw bags in their car blows my mind, especially when like they're just out every weekend trying to like run people down. I'm like, why'd you bag your car? If you really want to run people down, you're going to get your suspension right. And that means you're going to have good drag shocks, struts, and springs. Or coilovers. Good ones, not the cheapos. You want dual adjustable coilovers, if not even better ones. So you're looking at the AFCOs, you're looking at the Vikings. Let's see, what do I run on my car? I run the Vikings in the rear, and I'm about to get some for the fronts. And those are just entry level. Those are expensive, but they're entry level. The ones that are even more expensive than that, you don't even want to know. But you get those so that they're adjustable and you can set up the compression, the rebound, all these different attributes to the car taking off, how it responds, how it puts the power to the ground, to the tires. I mean, these are very important things that people overlook when they're talking about suspension. So you're dumping money into a car to make it fast, but all you really know about your car is, I put a bunch of money into these parts that people told me is supposed to make it go faster, and I have this high horsepower number. But a really well set up 500 horsepower car is going to blow your doors off, because they know suspension, suspension, suspension. You get some good shocks, good struts, good coilovers, the right springs, the right pressure rates. These are things that you need to go online and you need to research. You will have some people who know about this a lot more than me, because when I do this stuff for myself, I research it before I start to ask questions or purchase things. Right now, top of my head, it's not my, you know, it's not in the front of my brain. But I will have people who do this all the time on this podcast at a later date who can explain different things very, very well for you guys. So dabble into like the Google research right now. Look into your suspension setups. If you want to run on the street or at the drag strip, you want to have a good set of shocks and struts with some good springs set up depending on the way that your car is. Your weight matters a lot in your settings and your suspension. Once you get past the shocks and struts or coilovers and springs, then you're talking about panhard bars, you're talking about lower control arms. You know, every different car has a different type of suspension, but they all have components that you can buy aftermarket that are either adjustable, tubular and adjustable, so you're saving weight, as well as having the adjustability to be able to set the car up correctly, which you would do a lot of testing at the track or on the street and adjusting, and you have to write all this stuff down. You got to take notes, literally have a notebook. Settings, today, this time, this weather, these tires, my settings were this. My rebound on my coilovers are set at this. I'm using this spring rate on the coilovers or even the springs, whatever. And the car did this. Did it go from A to B straight line and just hook and book? Are you at the track? Can you actually add data to that with times? Can you add time data? Can you put down, yes, it went this fast, and when I made an adjustment this way on a rebound setting, or I changed my panhard angle, my pinion angle or something just a little bit, or whatever it is that you're adjusting, if it actually is improving your times, that's a really good tool to use. That's all I ever use the drag strip for, is to hang out with friends and see what the car is doing. See what adjustments I can make it faster, because that all correlates back to the street in some way. And I don't care about times on the track. I don't care about horsepower numbers on a dyno. I use that stuff as tools. You throw the car on a dyno, you want to see what kind of power it's making, and then you want to see where air fuel's at. You want to see all the different attributes so that you can tune it to get more power out of it and more usable power in the right power band. Those are the reasons why I use dynos and tracks and stuff. So for most of you listening, this is going to be relatively new. So you're going to have to do a little bit of research. Grab a notebook, go out to the track. If you have adjustable suspension, try different things that you have read about and mark down what it's doing. And then the same thing on the street. And you know, know, eventually you're going to get it down and you're going to be able to dial your car's suspension in so that you can maximize the power that you do have to get to the ground. Because that's a big problem with today. A lot of people don't understand that their big horsepower number doesn't equate to them actually going fast. What equates to you going fast is putting down a certain amount of horsepower to the ground without spinning. Actually putting that power to the ground with traction all the way through from A to B. So either you dial your suspension in, you get bigger, better, badder ass tires so that it all hooks up with that much power, or you turn the power down, you adjust your power settings so that your power doesn't come in until after you've gotten to a certain mile per hour and after you've gotten rolling where you know the car is actually going to be hooking up. These are different things that you got to do to actually go fast. Most people don't realize that. They just want horsepower, horsepower, horsepower. What parts can I slap in the car? And who's got the best suspension parts I was told about? Put it in. That's great. Do you know what it does? Have you set it up to do what it's supposed to do to make you faster? So do a little research, guys and girls. And, you know, don't be afraid to ask people questions. That's something that I never had an issue with. And when people ask me, like, how do you know this shit? Like, how did you didn't go to school for this or that or whatever? Like, I'm like, I have questions, man. I tried shit. I just did it. I started messing with cars early on and just did it. And you started asking people. So do the same. You got Google. You got forums and you got Facebook groups at your fingertips. Everyone should be pretty knowledgeable on this stuff. It just takes a little bit of effort. So these are just a few little things that hopefully spark in your head so that you'll have something to jump on Google and actually look up and you can start doing your own research. So, all right, I'm out.